Harsen das Bathayim and Beis. Very, very crucial line for understanding mitzvah Sheshiva Sukkah. V'amar Rav Barzatha Marav Avil Chayiv B'Sukkah. Okay, Avil's Chayiv B'Sukkah. That shouldn't be such a big kiddush. The Gemara says Pshita. After all, we just read, a second ago that Avil's Chayiv in all mitzvahs, right? Except for Sukkah. So of course it's Chayiv B'Sukkah. The Gemara says no. Ma'od the same Mahoel the. We have Omer Avam Barzavta, Omer Rav, or Omer Rava, or someone said that Mitzdar is part of the Sukkah. We're all familiar with that halacha. Hi, Nami Mitzdar, who you might have thought Mitzdar is part of the Sukkah. After all, the Oval's Mitzdar. Who's Mitzdar more than an Oval? So, come Mashmalan, you might have thought that the Oval's part of the Sukkah is Mitzdar. Come Mashmalan, no. Come Mashmalan, Hani. This is true of tsar that happens automatically, meaning tsar that comes upon him from outside forces beyond his control. Here it's an internal psychological process. He is in control of his emotions and he makes himself feel bad. And he has to settle his mind and not be mitzar. Okay, there's a lot in this line. Before we discuss the main topic here, which is the Sukkah implications, let me just point out the Avelos implications. Right, this line is, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, well, Mitzar, this part from a Sukkah, is involuntary tsar. That's tsar that's not your own fault. Like some of the examples of the Gemara, the Mishnah has rain, which most Mefarshim assume is if it rains, your potter is Mitzar, potter from a Sukkah. The Gemara in another Amud has bugs or bad smells, or the Gemara in Avodah Zarah has excessive heat waves. You know, those kind of mitzvah are not your fault. But here, it's his fault for feeling bad. And therefore, he should just compose himself and feel better and sit in the Sukkah. This, as we pointed out, is similar to what we had in Amud Aleph, right? Which is that, you know, the Avel should just settle his mind and say Kriya Shema. We pointed out then that these two Gemaras were peculiar in that they seem to imply that there's no value in the Avel being upset. Right? And this is against the works for Rashi, who says Avelos is purely Klapi Chutz. It's just showing Kavod. It's not actually feeling inside. It was very difficult for the Rav. Right, who said that it was a feeling inside, and we gave some answers. I just noticed the Ritva here has a fascinating line, which could, you know, perhaps be another explanation. The Ritva here says, in this line, Ibaili Lisube Daite. Here's a short line. Pirish Mori, Shetach Roy Shalopot Minasokade Shisnachem Umiyasev Daitila. Right? That actually it's fitting to be Machayev in Sukkah and make him settle his mind in order that he be comforted. Right? The Ritva here is maybe a new angle that we neglect, you know, that I didn't mention last time. You know, why is this Gemara, you know, again, the question, why is this Gemara so peculiar and so callous and like, you know, just settle your mind and we don't have value the feelings of the Avel. So for Rashi, we don't value the feelings of the Avel. We just value his actions. For the Rav, we gave two answers. Either we do value his feelings, but there's an inyan of Kabbalah Sadin or Tshuva, which requires him to channel that towards mitzvos. Or we do value his feelings, but we do value his feelings, at least on the Ma'alef, of sadness. But we don't value his feeling of tirda, right? He shouldn't be anxious. He should merely be sad. Okay, that doesn't help us here. But the Ritva has another answer here. The Ritva says it's not that we don't value the feelings of the Yovel. Of course we value the feelings of the Yovel. Of course his tsar is important. According to the Rav, his tsar is a mitzvah. So why do we discount his tsar? So the answer is because there's a countervailing mitzvah. There's an inyan of nicham avelim. Avelos is a very tricky experience if you're talking about the feeling belief. On the one hand, the Avol's chayiv to feel his tsar belief. On the other hand, there's a chiv of nichma veil, and you have to make the Avol feel better belief. Now, he shouldn't never feel sad in the first place. That would be an appropriate part of the Rav. Avail is belief, and it makes sense to us that there's value to feeling sadness. But on the other hand, part of the, just like part of the din of Avelus is to feel sad, part of the din of Avelus is nichma avelim, is to begin the process of making him feel better. The Rav has other words, where he says in a few places, in Hilchos Avelus, that perhaps it's actually an essential part of the kiyum of Avelus to have nichma. Perhaps the mitzvah of Avelus is defined by the possibility of nichma, or the opportunity for nichma. That's why the Rav explains why, according to the way we paskin, Avelus on the seventh day is until the menachamim, leave the house in the morning. You know, how is that the definition? Because Avelus is the opportunity for nichum. And once you had nichum, you had Avelus. So, okay, but that's already a side point. But, again, the Rishba here is a very brilliant answer. It's not that we don't value his tsar, it's that we value his tsar, but at the same time, we value the opportunity for nichum, and the Rishba's not saying here his tsar is not valuable and not a mitzvah and not important. Rather, the thing it is valuable in a mitzvah, but there's also a mitzvah to start to relieve that tsar, and therefore it's good to bring him into the sukkah, so that it's good to be mechayiv in sukkah and give him an opportunity to focus on the sukkah and to relieve some of the feelings of tsar, because that's part of the process of nichum.
Didn't you assign us a rishon that worked the opposite, that the avel would prefer not being in a sukkah and being a recluse at home?
Yeah, yes, but
does
that's
not want to be in
correct,
the sukkah.
But that's not necessarily the opposite. That's what he would prefer. It's not the opposite. It's just the ritva is throwing a curveball afterwards. That might be what he would prefer, which we'll get to in a second. But even though that's what he would prefer, there's a mitzvah of nicham, which requires, as part of his avelus process, for him to prefer to be sad and depressed, and then overcome it nonetheless. And therefore, this is part of the process of overcoming.
Is this Hesech Hadas from the Avelus through by being in the sukkah, being involved in something else?
It's an interesting question. Is it Hesech Hadas? Is it just some, counterbalancing positive feelings? I'm not sure, but even Hesech Hadas, part of the process of Nichum might be, not Hesech Hadas in terms of forgetting about it, but Hesech Hadas in terms of trying to raise himself and not being as deeply sunk in it. Okay, yes.
But there's contradictory halacha l'maisa. Like, if someone has a baby, they shouldn't hold a baby when they're sitting shiva because this is going to make them feel better.
Aha. So, we could go through a lot of these tensions. The answer might be that, the baby, the poskim right, milashon schok. Perhaps there's different ways of feeling better. There are more lighter ways of feeling better and more serious ways of feeling better. And perhaps you shouldn't take the shortcut of the lighter ways of feeling better, but instead the more serious ways of feeling better, such as nichum and such as sukkah. Okay, but that definitely means more to you. Okay, let's get to the main point here that bothered everyone, which is the sukkah aspect. Here, it seems very reasonable that the havni is mitzvah potter in a sukkah. Avada, the Avil, is a mitzvah. The Kamash one is he is a mitzvah, but he doesn't have to be mitzvah, unlike the fellow with bugs crawling on him and who's getting, heat shock and, who's getting wet in the rain. So he has no choice about the matter. Maybe how can he not be mitzvah? It's a physical thing which is beyond his control. But this fellow, he doesn't have to be mitzvah. He can choose not to be mitzvah, and therefore he should choose not to be mitzvah. He should overcome his tzar, and then he'll talk to be chayiv in sukkah. Okay, very reasonable havmina maskana. The tricky part that bothered all the mafarshim here, of course, is that this is very different from the classic case of mitzvah. Classic case of mitzvah, it's raining. I'm mitzvah in the rain in the sukkah, so I leave the sukkah and go home and feel better, because it doesn't rain. Or there's bugs in the sukkah, so I leave the sukkah and go home where there's no bugs. Or it's hot in the sukkah, or it smells in the sukkah, so I go to home. I go home and I feel better. All the other cases of mitzvah that we've ever heard of, and all the cases that we talk about in halacha l'maisa, zman hazeh, as well, are all cases where, to use the lashon of the Rosh, the rain, and the Mordechai, when you leave the sukkah, you nutzo min hatzar. The sukkah causes the tzar, and leaving the sukkah relieves the tzar. In which case, what we're talking here perhaps is there's a kula. The Torah says, Basukas teishu shivas yamim. But that's a very, very heavy burden. Really? Basukas Teshuvah Shivas Yomim, regardless, you're never allowed to leave the sukkah. So therefore, as we'll see, Tosfos points out in the Chafam and Aleph, no, Teshuvah Kein Taduru. Right? The you're allowed to leave your sukkah sometimes. Maybe that's why Hochi Drachim are allowed to leave the sukkah. If you have something important to do, you're allowed to leave the sukkah on the road. The Mitzvah is allowed to leave the sukkah because just like in your house, you wouldn't stay in your house regardless. You'd only reasonably stay in your house. If you had a good reason, you would go elsewhere. Likewise in sukkah, if you have a good reason, you're allowed to go elsewhere. And here it's a good reason to go elsewhere. So that is a kula, a limitation of the chiyuv, a heter to leave the sukkah. And what's the reason of the heter to leave the sukkah? Because you need to leave the sukkah in order to relieve your tzar. You have a need to leave the sukkah. And what's the need to leave the sukkah? Because it hurt. It's mitzar. How do you say mitzar? It's uncomfortable. It's unpleasant in the sukkah. And you need to save yourself from unpleasantness, so you go someplace better, such as a house. That's my spavilion. That's what we all do. If it rains. Some of us remember the old days when it rained a lot in the sukkah, in the old country. Factors make it unpleasant there. Yes?
But later on, we brought down that some of this is subjective. What you were comfortable with. Kein Taduru sometimes can be subjective according to the person. How you feel, if
okay.
It's cold can be, for me it's cold, for
okay,
you it's not cold.
Fair enough.
Isn't that the same as Zuzemi Date, that you want to put your mind in?
Okay, that is a great question. So let's get back to it. We'll see. There's a taka machlokas about whether we measure the tzar objectively or subjectively or something in between. But I think it's reasonable to assume that maybe in a chanami, if you could get over it, then you wouldn't be potter. But even subjectively, maybe you can't always get over it. Okay, this is the opinion of the Rush here and the Mordechai here, quotes from the Urayim, and it makes perfect sense. It should be your pashup shot. Mitzar only potters you if you would relieve the tzar by going home, if there's a need to leave the sukkah in order to relieve the tzar. The problem is over here, what's the half meaning of mitzar potter min ha-sukkah? After all, he'll be mitzar at home also. There's no, I know we know the Rush, but we shouldn't initially, right? That's not a story we would have thought of on our own. The Haraya, people have a lot of problems. Achronim have a lot of problems. They have harsh things to say about that svar. The basic problem is here, how can Mitzvah be Pachim HaSukkah? There's no need to leave the sukkah. There's no need for a heter or a kula. Because you only have been, he's just a sad in the house. He's sad because his father died. If he's in the sukkah, his father died. If he's in the house, his father died. Either way, he'll have tzar. So what's the need to leave the sukkah if he'll feel equally bad either way? Okay, so this is the basic problem. The basic problem is that why is an avil tsar of avelos hoter min hasukkah even in the havamina, right? After all, there is no need to leave the sukkah because the tsar is equal in the house. Okay, famous question. Yes?
Maybe we'll come back to this, but is this only a problem if you assume that the Torah is all day to teach the rule as opposed to possibly the prisoners?
Aha. Okay, so that's a very good question. The truth is that I'm very reluctant to commit myself. It's very hard to say for sure that there's an afkamina between the sources, especially since who says there's a different source, the Ritva. Right? What's the source of Mitzvah Pachim HaSukkah? Tosfos and many, many Rishonim say Teshuvah Kein Taduru. Just like you leave your house in Tzar, you leave your sukkah in Tzar. The Ritva says Ha'ezrach. He quotes the Ramban.
Yeah.
If anyone looked at the Ramban didn't say it. Right? The Ramban says Ha'ezrach means someone who is, Ezrach means citizen, someone who is fixed in place. And that exempts travelers from sukkah. The Ramban never said it exempts mitzar from sukkah. The Ramban made it sound like ezrach is purely a geographical point. After all, what's an ezrach? An ezrach is someone who stays in a certain place. And that's the p'tur of someone who's traveling from place to place. He does say ezrach is a p'tur mitzar. That's only what the Ritva adds to the Ramban, that ezrach is p'tur mitzar, because ezrach means someone who's comfortable, someone who's at home. You know, as opposed to someone who is suffering. What's a pasuk? Ezra Ranan, a fresh flourishing citizen. So the Ritva says the Ptur Mitzar is from Ezra because he's not an Ezra. The Ritva then adds, and this is why we darshan Teishu came to Duru. He's not that far from Tosos. He also says, and it ties into Teishu came to Duru. How do we know Teishu means to live nicely and not to live san? Oh, from Ezra. So the difference between the Ritva and, if we were just say, you know, the Makor for the Ptur Mitzta'er, we have two shitas, Tosfos and others say the drasha of Teshu Ke'in Taduru, meaning it says Teshu, you can interpret Teshu different ways, but Chazal Darshan, that Teshu means to live in a way of living, and you wouldn't live this way. And the Ritva, but not the Ramban, says Ha'ezrach. Ha'ezrach means someone who's comfortable, not someone who's uncomfortable. Although he also adds Teishu Kein Taduru, so he's not that far from Tosos. And if you say, why does he need two drushas? He doesn't. We only know Teishu Kein Taduru because of Ha'ezrach. Ha'ezrach sort of leads us to say Teishu Kein Taduru, so he doesn't end up that really far from Tosos. One could perhaps make a chiluk, which, you know, I'll come back to in a moment, but I'm reluctant to hang too much on the Ritva versus Tosos, just because the Ritva also mentions Tosos as like his second step, as like, you know, well, I start with the Ezra, and then I end up also darshaning like Tosos, and therefore I'm reluctant to hang too much on it. If you want to suggest before I get to it what the difference might be, I'm happy.
I'm saying, first of all, I think there are people who go further, meaning who take that idea that don't go further. You know, like the person who's showing the quote, you shouldn't say like,
they quote the Menorah Sfarah Kadmo, not the Menorah Hamor that is famous, which is based on the early Menorah Hamor, which we have a copy on the shelf. It was only published once since the printing press. and we have a copy on the shelf. If you want to look it up, you should do it soon, because another year or two, I'm not sure that copy will still be intact. But yes, the Menorah Hamor takes the Ritva more clearly. Very good.
Okay, so if you assume like that, you could say that Kalei Ezrach it's like Xerus Gus. In other words, only someone who's in a pleasant state of mind has to sit in the sukkah, and there's no woman's situation to do it. So even in Abel, there's a good Hagman to say if he's not going to be happy in the sukkah, so he's Potter. He's not Kalezo. He's not Ezra Brown.
Okay. The problem is you can say Zikdashim in Zadaru only if you're living in a nice way, like most people live, and most people don't live as Zadaru. But I hear the time. Okay. I hear the time. Yes, sir.
Could say the difference between Teshuva and Ezra is that Ezra is more in the gopher. Ezra is the person, but Teshuva is about the actions that you do.
Yes. Okay, so hold that thought. Okay, let us just go here and see what the answer is. One answer is, right, the rush. And the rush, he's stuck, meaning don't think the rush thought this was like Pashut common sense. Obviously the rush knew this was a stretch, but you got to do what you got to do. Says the rush, which is accepted, the Magen Avraham takes this rush and then starts applying it to every other Rishon and Achron and say they must have also meant that. Says the rush says that really the tsar is caused by the sukkah and would be relieved in the house. Then what's the tsar? And how does the sukkah cause the tzar? What's the chetim? So his father died. So it's worse in the sukkah that his father died than in the house? So he says, yes, it's worse in the sukkah. Why is it worse in the sukkah?
Because he wants to be alone. He doesn't want to be.
Because he wants. excuse me. Because he wants not only to be alone, he wants to be a sbodeh, he wants to be like, you know, in some like corner in the house that's easier to hide. But not only that, spoken tzar ba'feila, it's dark in the house. You know, he can close the windows and be depressed, and he wants to be torah b'tzaro. I mean, he wants to be in a really depressing setting. And it annoys him, it's very backwards, it annoys him to be in a happy setting. He wants to be in a depressed setting. And it's been star for him to be in a happy setting because it ruins his experience of wanting to be in a depressed setting. So you could say...
that's classic psychology. Someone's mitzvah, they say, leave me alone.
Right.
That's exactly
say, it annoys me that you try to make me feel better. Right? It annoys me to open the windows and let the sunlight in. Right? Now, of course, the Taz points out that A, that's a funny definition of mitzvah, that mitzvah means it annoys me for you to make me try to make me happy. He also points out that that's a little tricky, like, what's Nichum Avelim? You're supposed to try to make him happy. Okay, so you can say there's different ways to make him happy. If you make him happy by human company, then that's a mitzvah. If you try to make him happy by, you know, by outdoor picnic, then that's just annoying him. But that's the rush. Give me 1 second. Says the rush that he would, he prefers a dark hiding place and the open space and people and light is annoying to him in his state of depression. Yes.
So, I mean, I'm not sure if this is true, but I was just curious because I think it could bring a lot of halacha l'maaseh and nafka minas, but it sounds to me like the rush is not utilitarian. Meaning he wants to just know, is the sukkah causing you tzar or not? Versus you, I could think that maybe you could be monitored a different way. It's not what would cause you more tzar, it's just if there is tzar present. Meaning he doesn't mind the fact that going back in the house will ultimately cause the oven more tzar, because he wants to be shakur on the tzar.
Interesting. Meaning, what if each one would be tzar? Do we care which is more or just... Okay, I hear that. I just want to point out that the Prima Gudin here, he's not saying this in the Rush, because he knows it's not the Rush. So he says, but the Mordechai, I'm saying this for the Mordechai, right? Very clever. The Mordechai has the same basic sheet of the Rush, but doesn't give an explanation. So therefore, you can say whatever you want, right? So he says for the Mordechai, again, not for the Rush, that would be a lie, but for the Mordechai, the Prima Gudin that's on the sheet, that Xerox on the sheet here, he says the opposite. He says, no, it's tzar because if he sits inside a little, he'll actually feel better. That he'll get more of a nichum if yinotzel tzar sh'yelech bezbodus v'yilom enucha li'evlo. It's restful for him to have some private space. And therefore, you know, I think this is more, less sort of backwards. Backwards in a bad way. He says that, no, maybe he actually just... he will feel better in the privacy of his home, in which case then, you know, you don't need this sort of very complicated type of mitzvah. It's a more pashut. Not that the rush is wrong, meaning human psychology actually is complicated. It's not a pirka to say, how can you do this far in psychology? It's very complicated. People are complicated. But the Prima Gudin gives much more pashut thing. He says, no, taka, sometimes people need a little space. They're alone. There's walls between them and the world to calm down, menucha. And it'll actually help him feel better to be inside, and he'll be more distraught, and it'll help relieve his sadness to be inside. Okay, could be. In any case, this is just, you know, the psychology, the psychologist can analyze from now to the kingdom come. But the lumdus is very clear that the rush says that it must be a case where the tsar was caused by the sukkah and would be relieved in the house. Otherwise, what's the happening? You're saying the tsar caught him in a sukkah. However, that's the rush. But again, this is a big okinta, meaning I haven't said any of this. I haven't said what's the difference. You know, it's what's the difference? What's another way you can answer this? The truth is, I'm a sofek. Tell me what you think. What did you think when you read Rashi? Rashi says, Tzara dememeila shasuka mitzaarto. The sukkah is mitzaar him. Don't chamo tzino sircha b'vorm shesikech b'hem. Right? What? Rashi says, when is mitzaar potter? When it's tzar, the Gemara says tzar dememeila. Rashi translates tzar dememeila shasuka mitzaarto. The sukkah is mitzaar him. I'm wondering if maybe you could say, but it's dachuk. I don't know if you could say. Maybe you could say that what Rashi meant here is that no, in the Havamina, they thought Mitzta'er is potter, even if Tsar is not caused by the Sukkah. That's only the Havamina. But the Maskana was that Mitztair is only Potter if it's caused by the Sukkah and would be relieved by the house. Meaning, maybe you could say that's good for the Shaklan Tayyar or Sugya. The Havin was that all Mitztair is Potter, this naive view. Ah, he said Mitztair is Potter, let's take it. The words literally, all Mitztair is Potter. Kamashwa, no, that's only Tsar de Mimela, which Rashi translates as Tsar Shenigra Malidia Sukkah. Only if the Sukkah is worse than the house, you're Potter. But if the Tsar has nothing to do with the Sukkah, one way or the other, then you're Chayev. I thought maybe you could say that in Rashi, the reason I'm hesitant is because then the last line of the Gemara, it doesn't flow so well. It says, he should calm himself. It should have just said, who cares if he calms himself? He's Chayev. Right? Meaning, according to my pshat, the last line of the Gemara should have just been Chayev, regardless of whether or not he calms himself. Like, who cares if he calms himself? He's Chayev because the Tsar is not caused by the Sukkah. So you could say, no, it just means that, you know, it's good for him to calm himself anyway, it's always good to be calm. But I admit, it's a little dachuk, because then the last line of the word doesn't work. So I'm not sure if you think this shot is possible or not.
I can say Rashi means physical versus psychological, and that's what the Gemara can demand for you to, like...
In Echanan, that would be not this fish. In Echanan, that would be the Pashup shot of the Gemara.
Anyway, couldn't that line be addressing a different issue in terms of so he's not a star? So in other words, the star shouldn't be chayitz in the Sukkah. So the Torah says he's not a star because he could undo his star.
Ah, maybe the fact that he could undo his star shows it's not caused by the Sukkah.
Right.
Okay, F-shar, but I'm not sure, but this is dachuk. It's still not the poshup shot. It's still a little dachuk in the last line of the Gemara. The last line of the Gemara sounds like the reason he's chayav is not because the tsar is not caused by the sukkah. It's because he has the power to take away the tsar. And according to this shot, no, it should have just said the tsar is not caused by the sukkah. So I don't know if this is a true shot or not. Just,
I mean, the way Rashi explains that last line is almost like an addendum. Like, once we're saying you're chayev, now you're doing a mitzvah, you're obligated to have the right das.
Right, so it could be that's an addendum. Right, okay, fair enough. That's why, yesh l'ayin, but in any case, this is a chiddush pshat. What's the mainstream pshat? What does the Ma'arik say in our sugya? What does the Ma'arik say? The Ma'arik says, what does our sugya prove? That even if it's not actually not so, you're still potter, says the Ma'arik. That our sugya proves that mitzta'er is potter even if leaving the sukkah would not relieve the tsar. Even though if shuli not so, meaning the Mordechai and the Reim say mitzta'er is only potter if leaving the sukkah would help. And the Ma'arik says, no, didn't he remember this line in the Gemara? And he doesn't think of, I mean, he knew about it, he went one time to the Rosh, but he's not Machshid, the Rosh is Pshat. And he says, Pashat, our Gemara is a good proof that Mitztair is Potter, even if the Tsar is Irela, is not caused by the Sukkah, even if the Tsar has nothing to do with the Sukkah. Mitztair is Potter, what's the command? The Gemash on our Sukkah is, you could choose not to be Mitztair. But Mitztair is Potter. Right now, the meaning would be, again, like the case that the Magen Avraham calls the Sefer Tanya. He reads the Sefer Tanya like the Rosh. But if you look in the Sefer Tanya, it doesn't say that. Not the Lubav Tzurek, the old Sefer Tanya. Now, you know, what if the guy is like so distraught that he can't compose himself? Then Tati, he'd be potter from the Sukkah. Right? Okay. So, the...
Doesn't he have a mitzvah on the Sukkah? There's no Avelis on Chamoy.
Okay, good question. There's no Avelis on Moed. The truth is that, if you want, you could say, maybe that's why we're not Mashiv his Tsar, right? Because the Moed, he's not supposed to be in Tsar anyway. to defend the Rav. Oh, the Rav says Tsar of an Ovel is important. So even without the Ritva, you could just say Tsar is important, but not in a regal. That's a good point. But the answer might be that that's nice halachically, but still, the question is whether he can or he can't. Okay, so just give me a second to review these three pshatim in the Gemara, and then we'll get into, we'll really jump into the deep end of the lumdus. what is the havamina of mitzda'ir is potter, says the Rosh, because leaving the sukkah would help. Says the Maharik, no, and this shot that I said maybe you could say, no. Even though leaving the sukkah would not help. What's the maskana? The maskana is he can stop the tsar. He can stop the tsar with willpower, and therefore it's not mitzar. According to Marik, also the maskana is he can stop the tsar with willpower. According to this chat, I want to say maybe in Rashi the Iker, which Yosef was willing to endorse, the Iker maskana is that since leaving the sukkah wouldn't help, there's no p'tur. Okay, that's three ways of reading our Gemara. Now, let's just take this to the level of, by the way, we need a volunteer to be Chesky today. I know it's big shoes.
I guess.
And you need to own a smartphone. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to say less hard than anyone. The single guy, certainly, I wouldn't admit they have a cell, they have a smartphone. I don't want to ruin the shidduchim. The married guys already, you know, by the time your kids are in shidduchim, there'll be new things and they'll remember the smartphones. So you don't have to keep it quiet. Now, here we have a very, very, very fundamental machlokes, of course, about mitzta'er potter, about mitzta'er potter minasukah. Is it only if the tsar is caused by the sukkah, or is it any tsar pops from the sukkah, even though it's not caused by the sukkah and it wouldn't help to leave? This is the Rush and the Mordechai, according to Yerayim, says the same thing, versus the Maharik. The Rush, Mordechai, and Yerayim versus the Maharik. We just have what?
And your child of Rashi.
Versus the Rush, Mordechai, and Yerayim, and my child of Rashi and the Maskana. Okay, but let's. First, you know, could you take the board for me, please, someone? Whoever ended up volunteering?
I'll try.
What?
I'll try. I'm not so...
You're not such a photographer? So get someone to photograph. No photographers here?
Cheap cameras. If the camera doesn't cost $10,000, it's beneath the
table. Just to be sure.
You got it?
Exactly.
You know, you can look at the picture after you took it and see it. I'll teach you how you can send it to other people. Even if they're far away. It's an amazing thing. Now, let's just ask ourselves this question. Here we have mitzta'er potter min ha-sukkah. And we'll ask ourselves, give me a second here. Okay. Says the, most famously, the Rush, the Mordechai, and the Yerayim. That's not in order. The Yerayim came before them all. And this is passed by the Rambam, if you notice. I think some of this is paid. The Rambam brought this down. Rak im yinotzel min hatsar al yedei yitzioso min hasukah. However, the Maharik says that afilu lo yinotzel min hatsar al yedei yitzioso min hasukah. You are still, mitzar is still potter from the sukkah. Now, Misvara, of course, the Rosh and the Mordechai and the Rei make perfect sense. Yeah, it's a kula. You don't have to, you don't have to go crazy to sit in the sukkah. You don't have to make a reasonable effort to sit in the sukkah. The same, you have to be as dedicated to your sukkah as you would be to your house. Okay, you'd leave your house if there's tsar and go to a neighbor. So you can leave your sukkah if there's tsar and go to the neighboring house. What's pshat in the Maharik? So, Enoch Rami, the guy sat. Let's say he was sad because he's an avil and he couldn't compose himself, right? The Tanya says that there's such thing as an avil, he can't compose himself. And then he's taka potter, even though it wouldn't help him to go to the house. If someone's just distraught and sad, and the Tazal suggests that's why chol is potter nasuka, because he's mitzayer, even if he wouldn't get better in the house, doesn't matter. If someone is miserable, they're potter from sukkah, even though it wouldn't help to go in the house. But why? Why should the guy be potter from sukkah? If he's miserable in the house, miserable in the sukkah, let him at least do a mitzvah. So, what does the Tanya say?
He might be in the sukkah, chances are he'll be less miserable in the house.
Okay, but then what you're saying is this is not a real shita.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's not what the Taz says. Why? What does the Taz say? Anyone want to say the Taz? Right, the Taz based himself on the Shver. Right? The Taz's father-in-law, the Bach, had a big chiddush. Again, I'm sure you can find this if you show him if I looked it up. But it's famous as the Shita of the Bach, and then was picked up by many, many Achronim. The Mishnah Berurah in the end didn't pass in this way, but it was picked up by many Achronim. The Bach has a big chiddush. Says the Bach, normally it's a suffix whether or not mitzvah strichos kavana, right? It's a machlokas whether mitzvah strichos kavana or lo strichos kavana. It's a suffix whether mitzvah strichos kavana or not. We certainly wouldn't say if someone did a mitzvah without kavana, they might be yotzei, right? Okay, we would pass. Maybe they should do it again without a bracha. Maybe they were yotzei, maybe they weren't. But for number one in all mitzvos, we're masufik whether mitzvah strichos kavana or not. Number two, even if mitzvahs need kavana, what does kavana mean? You have to have in mind. Do you have to have in mind all the his beer and the sefer chinuch and the Ramban and the more nevuchim and all kinds of philosophy?
No.
What do you have to mind mitzvahs need kavana?
You're
sitting in the sukkah because what mitzvahs need kavana? You're sitting in the sukkah because you were commanded to. No, mitzvahs need kavana means I have to shake a lulav because I was commanded to. I have to sit in the sukkah because I was commanded to. I have to do mitzvahs so I was commanded to. Mitzvahs kavana means just you have to know you were commanded to. You don't have to know the philosophy behind it. As a matter of fact, sometimes none of us know the philosophy behind it, right? But that's in Kol Tarkula. So in Kol Tarkula, suffix tzrichos kavana, suffix ain't tzrichos kavana. And even if it needs kavana, you don't need philosophy. You just need kavanas kiyum mitzvah. However, says the Bach, that's when the mitzvah doesn't say leman to know something. That's when it doesn't say in the chumash that the purpose of the mitzvah is in order to tell you something. But by sukkah, and he points out also by tzitzis and also by tefillin, it says leman tizkru and leman tiyator shemficha. By sukkah, it says leman yidu dor seichem, in order that your generations know the story that Hashem put us in sukkahs during Yitzias Mitzrayim. Therefore, says Bach, why did the Torah have to add leman yidu dor seichem? Right? The Torah doesn't give the reasons for all the mitzvahs.
Yeah.
That's why we don't know some of them. Why do I have to say the reason for the mitzvah of sukkah is in order that you remember Yitzias Mitzrayim? To teach us that that's an etzem part of the mitzvah. Part of the ma'isa mitzvah of sukkah is to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. And says the Bach, if you sit in the sukkah and you don't remember what it represents, even if you know it's a mitzvah. Let's say, I don't know, you're a Jew and the Iron Curtain just fell, and the Chabad Shliach came, and he says, Jews do all these things. Jews do a lot of rituals. And you're so mitlahev about Judaism, you want to do all the rituals, and you'll figure out what they mean later. We sit in the sukkah. So great, you come and sit in the sukkah, and you know you're sitting in the sukkah for avodas Hashem, because you just want to do Hashem's mitzvahs, and you want to be a good Jew. Says the Bach, you're not yotzei, you're vaday not yotzei. Whether or not mitzvah shikus kavana, sukkah needs kavana, and not just kavana to do a mitzvah. Sukkah needs kavana of kibas sukkah, so shatis, v'nei, so rotzio, so mir, sorry. Why? Because it says in the pasuk. That's the chiddush of the Bach. Do we paskin like this Bach? Unclear. Many achronim do. The Mishnah Berurah in the end says he's not convinced. But that's the shita of the Bach. The shita of the Bach is that a more intricate type of kavana is ma'akev, the mitzvah of sukkah, and not just ma'akev like as a side point. It's ma'akev because that's the etzem ma'isa mitzvah. Now, what's his raya? He brings a nice raya. The Torah, the beginning of Hilchos Sukkah, starts with the whole discussion of the story of how they left Mitzrayim and what the sukkahs were. And he's not ma'ayin in the Shulchan Aruch, but the mechaber also. What's the first mechaber in Hilchos Sukkah? Anyone know the first line of Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Sukkah? What does it say? It says, we passed in sukkahs, means that none of your kavod, because there were none of your kavod when we left Mitzrayim. So the kasha is, why did the Torah, and later the Machaber, the Bach doesn't analyze Machaber, that's historically, he's not interested in so on so recent. But why do they start with a whole analysis, why not start with halachos? So the Bas says, because this is not just a philosophy, this is halachos. Because the halacha is that you need to understand what it reminds us of. And that's why the Machaber to Paskin, the Machlokes, Hanoi, as to whether it means booths or clouds of glory, because that's not a philosophy, that's a halacha. Because if you think the wrong thing, then you haven't been yotze, because you need to think, l'mai, kivasukas or shat Yisrael. So that's the famous sheet of the Bach. The famous sheet of the Bach is that kavana is ma'akev al pigzeres hakasav, and not just kavana to do a mitzvah. Specific kavana to understand what it stands for. Now, the Taz, that Bach is, again, maybe we pass like it, maybe we don't, Bach looks like Cronin, but that Bach is very reasonable. The Taz then just adds one thing, and yeah, you really have to think about whether, at least on the simple level, you know, this is so convincing, says the Taz, you know why Mitzar is Potter, even though the Tzar is not caused by the Sukkah? He says because if someone's Mitzar, then they're too distracted and they can't think about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right? If someone's Mitzar, if someone's so distraught, then they're too distraught to think about Basukos or Shavdis and Eishol Otsio, something against Mitzrayim. Now, of course, this might depend on the level of Mitzar. Right? If someone's a low level of Mitzar, this wouldn't be true. But you could say someone's a high level Mitzar. Maybe even a high level Mitzar, it's not true. I don't know. I don't know how well people multitask. But emotional multitasking is harder than intellectual multitasking. And you could say, no, if the guy's momish wallowing in self-pity, even for a valid reason, because his mother died, then he can't really remember to look at the sukkah and think if he sees the tzrayim. If the guy's momish sick, and harder to say if he's sick because he has an earache or something, but let's say the guy's momish, you know, sick in bed and suffering, then it's hard for him to think it's his Mitzrayim because he's so caught up by his tzar. So the Gemara says he should control himself. But that's the Taz. Says the Taz, it's not midin teishu kein taduru. Not midin teishu kein taduru. That's for tzar caused by sukkah. Tzar caused by the sukkah is mishum teishu kein taduru. That he admits, right? The bugs in the sukkah, that's the teishu kein taduru. But this tzar is not teishu kein taduru, but midin kavana lama'an yedu doroseichem, and a mitzta'er can't have kavana. And that's why he's potter, because he's an honest, he can't have kavana. So in Maskana, they say he's not an honest, he could compose himself. But in the hobby, if he was really an honest, if he was really inescapable tsar, like the guy's mom is so sick, you know, some of my people are so sick, their mom can't think about anything, then, or, say for Tanya, he's so distraught about this, this is a really bad avelus, he's so distraught that he mom can't think about anything, then Taki, he's an honest, almost open to Patrick's, he can't have Kavana. That is the Taz's mark, that there's a, he said, I know there's one din of Tesh we came to do, which is like the rush, but there's another din of Turmit Star, Midin Laman Yedu Doroseichem, and that cure has to do with inability to miskaven. And therefore, it's not when there's bugs in the sukkah. When there's bugs in the sukkah, it's easier to be miskaven in the sukkah because you really notice it. But that's when your mom is miserable. When someone's miserable, they can't think of Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Aaron. But why can't he? I mean, all right, so he doesn't have full kavanah. Maybe he shouldn't make a bracha. But that doesn't. So sit in the sukkah anyway.
Okay.
It doesn't hurt.
No. No one said it hurts, but if it doesn't help, then he's putter. Meaning, even if sukkah doesn't hurt, if it doesn't help, he's putter because. It's not helping him. It's not a mitzvah. Okay, Morty's questioning the psychology of the Taz. Really? He's potter because he mamish, just is miserable, can't think about the sukkah? After all, maybe at first he won't think of the sukkah, and then he will think of the sukkah, maybe he will remind him. Okay, I'm sympathetic to you, Morty. I'm not so sure about the Taz. Really? A miserable person can't think of the manyetu doroseichem? It's so impossible, even a little, Morty says. Even half the time is better than none.
Well, that's what
but that's what the Taz thinks.
That's what the Bikurei Yaakov answers and says, for a moment, that's all you need is a moment, like we do a little bit with Kriyat Shema.
Okay.
That's
right.
Enough. But the Taz didn't
accept
that.
However, I want to point out, Aaron, sorry.
I don't see it any more challenging than the idea. We say a chosin is possible to tell. The chosin also can't concentrate for one line of Kriyat Shema. The only difference is there you've got a chosin telling you. Here, the Taz is so convinced that he's saying, I don't even need the positive to say it in the spot, but the etzem, they're similar also, but like, can't constrain for one.
Okay, fair enough. You know what, the truth is I'm not a psychologist. I never got any training in it, went to school and anything, you know,
that's
I just had a few SRs. Correct. Okay, fine, but say that.
In the Gemara, at the beginning of the pair, the Mani and Dador, we're talking about the chefs of the Sukkah. And here, he just moved it to another...
No, so the way the Bach read, right, Joel's referring to the very first sugya of the Masechet, which is my focus, whether it's a psul of a sukkah higher than 20 amos, because you can't see it anymore, remember, it's a psul chefza. So where did the Bach get this idea of a psul of a chiv gavra? So he would say, Pashi, he would say, look, they're arguing whether a sukkah that's too high to notice becomes a psul chefza. But everyone agrees that if you don't think you see a Mitzrayim, you're not Yotzei Zagavra. They just argue whether to take it another step and turn it into a Psol Chefza. Okay, however, this is 2.1. It's really not so pashut. You could say a little differently, right? You could say a little differently. You could say that maybe it is. Midin Teshvu Kein Taduru. Maybe it is Midin Teshvu Kein Taduru. Ah, how would Teshvu Kein Taduru mean that a Mitzar is Pater from Sukkah, even though he's equally Mitzar no matter where he is? So you have to say Teshvu Kein Taduru is not. Is not only a heter. Or a tour, or a kula, but teishu kein taduru is a definition. Very good. A hafka'a of the shindira of the shindira yeshiva. The Torah says basukos teishu shivas yamim, right? Or you could say, right? We'll get to you. Say the Torah says basukos teishu shivas yamim. We don't know what teishu means, so teishu we say is kein taduru. What is Teshu Kein Taduru? Remember, the ritual pointed out, Teshu Kein Taduru doesn't just mean live like you live in your house. It means, anyone remember Rashi in the beginning of one of the Parshios in Sefer Bereishis, who defines what yeshiva means?
Bikesh Yaakov Leshev
B'Shalva. Yeah, we know this is the ritual also, right? But Yeshev Yaakov means Bikesh Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva. How does Rashi know that it means Bikesh Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva? Or in the Medrash, no. So the answer is because the Lashon of Yeshiva on the one hand means dwelling, but on the other hand, you know, we talk about Yishuv Hadat, Lit Yashav, I know that's modern Hebrew, but it goes back and there's roots in the Tanakh as well. Yishuv has a connotation of comfort, of being settled, not just settling the land, but of being settled. And therefore, he says, Teshu means Leishiv Hashalva, to live nicely, to be settled. So maybe you could say Teshu Kein Taduru is not only a heter, but a hafka'ah. Yeshiva Bitzar is not called yeshiva. And therefore you're potter from Sukkah, because even if you stayed there, you wouldn't be the kind of the mitzvah. Right? It's a hafka'ah. Yeshiva Bitzar is not yeshiva. And therefore, if it's not yeshiva, then you're potter. Oh, you wouldn't feel better at home. Okay, but you're not yotzei sukkah anyway, because that's not yeshiva. So you might as well go home. And that's why, if you have an insurmountable misery, again, the maskal argument is that you get over your misery, but if you have an insurmountable misery, then you would leave your sukkah even though it wouldn't help you at all. It's not a kula to leave your sukkah. It doesn't help you. It's not a het to leave your sukkah. It's a hafka. It won't help to be in the sukkah, because if you sit in the sukkah mitzvah, you're mofker from sukkah anyway. Or, as Ellie just pointed out, you could also say, just ha'ezrach is a gzeres hakasov dimitzta'er potter, because he's not an ezrach ra'anan, right? So you could also say, you know, I want to say Teshu Kein Taduru, Kapol, let me show them. You could also say maybe this works better if it's from Ezra, because Ezra just means a happy person's chayav in sukkah, a miserable person, not a happy person,
right.
A settled person, or a settled person's chayav in sukkah, a miserable person's not chayav in sukkah. So you could just say it's like a t'nai, and then you can maybe go differently from Lundus. But I think that, let's stick with the mainstream Rishonim, Teshu Kein Taduru, it's not Teshu Kein Taduru, it's the heter. Like, the limit to how chayiv you are. You only chayiv this much and not more. No, it's not a limit to your chiyuv. It might also be that. But it's a hafka. If you sit in a way that's not ke'in taduru, then you're not sitting. And what a ke'in taduru means? Means
b'ke
sh'akva
v'lei shiva shalva. It doesn't sound like that's ke'in taduru. It sounds like that's the definition of teshuva. It's not the same year as teshuva ke'in taduru. When I'm during normal of the year, when I'm sick, I stay in my house. Like, there's nothing not ke'in taduru about that. It sounds like it's a different year from just from teshuva.
Fair enough. Although the Ritva connects them, the Ritva later on does say that Teshuva King Taduru does mean Bishalva, right? Doesn't he? Where is this Ritva? Chafkes Amud Beis. He said, Teshuva King Taduru comes from Yeshiva King Dira Yeshiv Yaakov Ersim Guriyavit. He's going to quote the Rashi of Leshiv Bishalva. But you're right. It's not really the ke'in taduru as much as, because taduru could mean different things, although I will get back to that. It might just mean that yeshiva means yeshiva b'shalva. Okay, but maybe I'll get back to it in a moment. Now, yeah.
This point about being a hafka isn't necessarily exclusive. Meaning you could say, our class of definition of taduru, it'd still be hafka, as long as it's for
a month. Correct, absolutely. Yosef's saying very well. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But you're saying absolutely true. And I think that'll actually be important for understanding the sheet of some achronim. But let me just point out, yeah.
Is it being mevatel the fact that one can do yeshiva, or is it mevatel the shem sukkah?
So that is interesting, because the Taz keeps using the lashon of being mevatel the shem sukkah, interestingly. Now, but it's hard to really believe that. He means that literally, because after all, the avel and the cholet have to be the lishen sukkah, meaning the other people are going to say sukkah in that sukkah, just the other in the whole are. So I'm assuming it's a bittul shem yeshiva sukkah, even though his lashon sometimes says bittul shem sukkah.
No, because you're saying the Gemara that other people would not be, you would say that sukkah. Forget the avel, not the avel, meaning the sukkah is being misar, and then that means that it's not a sukkah. And that's
okay, so you know what? Let me get back to that also. Okay, let me just point out there's a parallel problem in Maseches Erchin. Right? Maseches Erchin is a very parallel discussion. Right? What does it say in Maseches Erchin? Right? Everyone remembers the beginning of Erchin, right? Some of us were here for the beginning of Erchin. That it goes through all the hakols in Shas. Hakol chayav mesukah, kohanim v'vim yisraelim. What's the chiddush that kohanim are chayav in sukkah? You might have thought that sukkah is teshuva k'in taduru. What does teshuva k'in taduru mean? Ish v'ishto. Right? Even though women are potter from sukkah, but the man is chayav to have his wife in the sukkah. That's the dira for a married man, right? And kohanim, since they can't, pashas, they can't sleep with their wives, even though there is a funny different shot in the Korban Hasanel, kohanim can't sleep with their wives because they have to do a voda, right? If a kohen engaged in marital relations, he becomes a balkeri. Even if he goes to the mikvah, he's a tvul yom, and the whole next day, he's not allowed into the mikdash. So therefore, since the kohanim has to do a voda, he has to be poresh from marital relations, and therefore it's not ke'in taduru.
Why does he have to?
Why?
He's just like not show up to work next
time. It's a good question. It's a good question. After all, there's someone else to pick up the slack. So the answer might be during the regel he is
his own mitzvah.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe during the regel, there's dafka a mitzvah for the kohanim to be prepared for avodah, because like everyone shift. Or maybe you could just say, since the kohanim as a whole have to appoint some people to be poor for marital relations, right? Meaning someone has to, get the message that they have to be poor for marital relations in order to be able to do all the work. And there's a lot of work in the regel, right?
You can't make the bia asar, you're in a kasvar.
What?
You can't make the bia asar.
It's not that the bia is usher, it's just that the bia is not possible.
Sure it is.
Okay. The truth is that that's what the bnei Yosha, I take it back. So you have to say, because I hear your kasha, maybe you have to analyze it better, but let's say for now, at least many kohanim, at least a large number of kohanim, have to work in the mikdash. And therefore, at least some of the kohanim have to refrain from marital relations. And therefore, you might have a havamina that at least those ones, question is, what's the havamina? So here, the havamina, at least according to most girsos, right? Someone doesn't even have this girsa, right? Here we have Erechin daf gimel amud beis. What's the havamina? The havamina is that the kohanim are pturim misukah because teishu ke'en taduru, and they can't be with their wives. What's the maskana? The maskana is a cryptic line. The maskana in Erechin is nehi be'idin avoda ptiri aval shlo be'idin avoda chayavim. Right? The maskana is they are pturim b'shas avoda, but they are chayavim shlo b'shas avoda. Okay, so we have to figure out exactly what that means. So, first of all, in the Havamina, right, the Havamina would prove, oh, by the way, I just need to give a name. Who says that the Marit is not because of Lanividor Seichem, but because of Teshu? That was on a recovers the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim on this sheet said something like, Viteshvu kitaduru. Okay, here it's a little tricky. Viteshvu kitaduru. Uvitsar ozev di russo gamkein. Maybe it's not so pusher. Kim maharik de lokomordechai. He's possible that the maharik in tamtesh kitaduru. Well, he throws in, because in tsar you would be redira. Where would you go? Maybe it just means, you know, so I'm not 100% sure. You know, let's say maybe the prima gadim. Because it's not so clear. Is the prima gadim really saying, like, totally like this lundus, that no, it's just a hamkaha? Or is he saying, no, it's a kula, just like you would leave your house if you were upset. I'm not sure why you would leave your house if you had no place better to go. But maybe like upset people would just like, you know, I don't know, maybe if you wanted to stretch the prima gadim being a kula, he's like, just like in your house, if you were upset, you would just leave him wander around, like aimlessly. You can leave him wander aimlessly here for no reason. But I think it's more likely means that just like if you're upset, it's not worth living someplace. That's not really living if you're miserable. So here, it's not really living. Okay, maybe the Prima Gadim is a Zafka. I'll come back to this in a moment. Now, in the Havamina, seems to prove like the Ma'arik. And not, could the Havamina be the Taz's version of the Ma'arik? Or it has to be the Prima Gadim's version of the Ma'arik? Yeah, because it's not Mitzvah. The Gemara doesn't say mitzvah, meaning clearly the fact that he can't sleep with his wife doesn't make him so miserable and he can't have kavanah for things. That's ridiculous. But on Yom Kippur, people can't have kavanah for things? No, obviously you can't say the taz in this case. Just because he's also in married relations doesn't mean, I don't know, maybe I underestimate, you know, how crazy some people are. But pashas, just because the guy's also in married relations doesn't mean he's so miserable that he can't even think. No, he's, you know, give him more credit than that. So, in the Havamina, definitely, the Havamina is definitely like 2.2. Like the version of Ma'arik, and not because of Kavana. Because give me a break, Israel and Arab relations doesn't make you too miserable to think. It's because if it's not Kain Dira, it's Mufka. If the husband has to live abnormally, then, with preachus, which is not a normal way to live, then he's mufka. From if he has to live abnormally, he's mufka. And therefore, meaning he's talking not living normally. When the Kohanim go to the Beis HaMikdash, they live abnormally. They take on a monastic lifestyle. So since you're living abnormally, that's not called yeshiva sukkah, and your patrik, so it wouldn't be a mitzvah to be in the sukkah anyway. Unless, except for the Shita Mikubetzes. Why? Because the Shita Mikubetzes has a totally different girsa here. Rashi and Tosfos have our girsa. The Rabbeinu Gershom has both girsas. But the Shita Mikubetzes has a different girsa. He eliminates the whole part about wives. He says the Havmina wasn't that they're part of the sukkah because of wives. No, the Havmina was something else. You have to sit in the sukkah daytime and nighttime. Since they can't be in the sukkah in the daytime, so you're in the base of Mikdash, you might have had a Havmina the potter at night. Kamashla not. Okay, that's a reasonable Havmina. That has nothing to do with quality of life. That's just a sort of time. You might even have a mina, it's 24 hours or nothing. Kalash 1, 12 hours is also a mitzvah. Okay, so the Shidim Gubetzes has, who doesn't have this girsa, then he's fine. Shidim Gubetzes has a different girsa. has a different girsa. What? Yeah, you would have had the same Havmina by them, according to Erkin. But it's only Havmina, so it's okay. But according to everyone else, at least the Havmina is like the Prima Donna version of the Maharik. However, the question is, what's the Maskana? Now, here's where it gets tricky, because what does the Maskana mean by B'Shas Avoda and Shalom B'Shas Avoda? Right? What does the Maskana mean by B'Shas Avoda and Shalom B'Shas Avoda? Here, we're not sure what it means. Forget about the Shaar Ephraim. I don't know if anyone saw the Korban Asana. Let's just stick with the Rishonim and Achronim on the Daf of Shas and Shulchan Aruch, respectively. What does it mean, B'Shas Avoda and Shalom B'Shas Avoda? How would you translate this? When are they potter, when are they chayiv?
When duty.
So, you could say when they're working, they're potter. When they're resting, they're chayiv. Or, another way to translate it is, meaning the hours they're working, they're potter. The hours they're resting, they're chayiv. Right, so that's one way to read the Gemara. There are two ways to read the Gemara. What are the two ways to read the Gemara? One way is, during work hours, they are potter because they're too busy, right? Meaning, obviously, also gets potter, so they have to work in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's Docha Sukkah. And during rest hours, they're chayav because they're not busy. That's one way to read it. Who reads it that way? Okay, what's the other way to read it? The other way to read it is no. On work nights, right? We still say work nights, right? What does a work night mean? It means the night before you have to go to work, right? School night, work night. I know. You've seen, you know, school nights, there's also work nights. Work nights mean you have to go to work the next day, right? You know, I can't go to the bar and party till 2 a.m. because it's a work night. Okay, I think that's what people say out there. Or I guess translated into our lifestyles, you know, we have to end shiur at 10:30 p.m. because it's a work night, right? We can't go over. So, on work nights, potter, because of the iser of tashma shamita, because there's an iser of tashma shamita. On work night, the potter is the iser of tashma shamita, but on non-work nights, they're chayav, because the havmina was that kohanim were potter all the time as a low plot. Kamashim, they're only potter on work nights. They're not potter on non-work nights. Okay, who? Yeah.
The point of the first chapter. How are they ever? How are they? The whole issue is not because of time, but because they can't be with their wives. They can't do the avoda when they're mm-hmm. So what does it matter if they're on or they're off? If they require tefillah.
Are you here or here?
Here.
Yeah. Here what we're saying is, the fact that there's an iser tashma shamita is not a ptur. That's exactly the point. But the iser tashmish hamita is not poter. Tashmish hamita is not a ptur.
So what are they supposed to do?
They're supposed to sleep in the sukkah and not touch their wives. Yeah, but say that. I mean, the wife could be in the sukkah. They just can't do anything. Now, says the Magen Avraham, give me a second, says the Ramah's trying to solve a mystery. Says the Ramah, how come we don't sleep in the sukkah nowadays? Who isn't. The Ramah says, how come in his days people didn't sleep in the sukkah? He said only the medaktik in the mitzvah slept in the sukkah in his days, only the real frumis. But how come the regular people didn't sleep in the sukkah? Nowadays the answer would probably be, okay, because the regular people are stupid. But in those days, there was more of a feeling of, you know, you have to klal Yisrael and lo mevi'im hei b'nei mevi'im hei. There must be a good reason. So, no, chas v'shalom, how can you say that everyone just doesn't care about mitzvahs? So it must be there's a reason. So everyone tries to come up with reasons. And Ramah's reason is because Ishva Ishto, because in his days, they weren't rich like us, that we could build fancy sukkahs, and we all have backyards, and mirpasot, and everything, and nice building materials. In their days, the sukkahs were, you know, like in the old, the shikunim in Yerushalayim. The sukkahs are on the street, right? So it's not, and the sukkahs are on the street, and they weren't so fancy, hermetically sealed, etc. The sukkahs were on the street, or maybe even the chutz or the shul, they slept a shir the sukkah or something. And there's these not snios for the men and for the husband and wife to sleep there. And therefore, he said, you're potter because you can't, don't have your wife there. So, he's potter because it's hard to sleep sleep without your wife, and therefore, you're potter from sleeping in the sukkah, you just have to eat in the sukkah. Okay, that was his hesber. Therefore, he says, okay, so if you have a merpeset or a backyard, and you have a nice sukkah privacy, then you're chayim. But, at least in his days, that was his hesber of the Torah. Without coming back to that yet, says the Magen Avraham, what's the makor for being potter because you can't sleep with your wife? Says the Magen Avraham, commenting on that Ramah, he says, that's what it means in Erechin. Kohanim are pturim because they can't be with their wives. So how did the Magen Avraham read the Maskana of this Gemara? Right, you wouldn't know this. You're looking for Pshat in this Gemara. It's like a throwaway line in the Magen Avraham. But this is how the Magen Avraham reads this Gemara. Says the Magen Avraham, he says, what this Gemara means is this is the Makor of the Ramah. You don't have to say this. You could just say the Ramah came up with this idea on his own. You know, maybe in the back of his head was this idea, but it wasn't really based on this Gemara. But the Magen Avraham says, Kach mash be'erchin, and erchin, it patters you from sukkah if you can't be with your wife. So he, what? Says the Gra. Now, the Gra is not justifying Ramah, meaning the Gra, Kedarka Bakodesh, likes to argue on the Ramah when he has a title. The Gra says that's not pshat of the Gemara. Says the Gra, that's not what the Gemara means. That was only the Havamina. That's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara doesn't mean that you're potter and you can't be with your wife. He says, the Gemara doesn't mean that Bishpurim Shasavodas could not be with your wife. That's inyam if they atzmo. That means you're potter b'shas avodah when you're busy working. That's totally different. It's because you're all sick b'mitzvah and you're holchei mikdash, etc. That's that. And the Gra points out Rashi and Tosos and Erechin really sound more like him. It's hard to know for sure how Rashi and Tosos. I mean, you could say Rashi and Tosos and Erechin agree with you. But he says, and we won't go through it now because we don't have that much time, but let's just see Alpi. Rashi, Vitosos, and Erechin. He thinks that Rashi, Vitosos, and Erechin sound more like him. Regardless, the Magen Avraham reads the Maskana one way, that there is a Torah Tashat Amitah, but only work nights. And the Gra says, no, that's not what they mean. They mean Inyam B'Fnei Atzmo. There's a Torah B'Shas Avodah because you're busy working. But there's no Torah of Tashat Amitah, and therefore this is not a Makor for the Ramah. No, the chiddush is you might have thought Tashma Shemita is a ptor. The iser of a wife is a ptor. Kamashma, it's not. That's a good chiddush. I mean, you might have thought like a Magen Avraham. Kamashma, not. If you have to tell me not like a Magen Avraham, that's a valid chiddush. Okay, even when the Magen Avraham, even when the Magen Avraham's wrong, it's a chiddush that he's wrong. According to this, and again, okay, according to this, what turns out? It turns out. Now, I'm not talking about the case of the Ramah. The case of the Ramah is he would be saved by going to the house. Then he could be with his wife. I'm just talking about the Gemara in Erechin. Says, according to the Magen Avraham, that according to the Magen Avraham, then even the Maskana is like the Maharik, and like the Maharik, not because of the Taz. Right? That would be a big right. The Maskana is the Kohanim are putters, they can't sleep with their wife. Oh, but they can't sleep with their wife even if they wouldn't be in a sukkah. What's the difference? The answer is, if you can't live normally, that's mafkia the yeshiva, or it patters you, even, it's not a kula, that, oh, poor guy can't be with his wife, let him go to the house and be with his wife, like they throw him off. No, in Erechin, he can't be with his wife in the house either, because he'll be able to carry in the house also. It's just a ptur that if you can't live nicely, if you can't live comfortably, you are potter. Okay, so they all ask, so that means if someone's wife is a nida, they can't go to the sukkah, then they start being a chalik. No. That's the part of the normal routine that people are used to. But when they kohanim go to the regel, then they already feel like they're not living properly, and they're living in a difficult situation because of the burden on them. And therefore, that's considered. But let me just point out. thing, Tashrina Mita is not such a chashuv part of lifestyle. But according to the Gra, there's no raya for the maskana. The maskana is that there's no pure of Tashrina Mita. But according to the Magen Avraham, the maskana, not only have even the maskana in Erechin is like the Marik, that your pater, even though, not as a kula, because we feel bad, we want you to have marital relations, shalom bayis, so you can leave the sukkah. No, you can't have marital relations anyway. It's just a hafkah. If you have to live abnormally, then that's not yeshiva sukkah. You might as well go to the house because it doesn't help to be in the sukkah anyway.
Maybe that's not true. I mean, the first time I read the Gemara, understanding the Magen Avraham, I understood it to be a bit differently. I mean, Peter Mishas Avoda means Mamash Peshas Avoda, then maybe an Isser would apply since they're already based in Mekdash and working, and therefore they'd be Petur. Therefore they'd be Petur because of also this of Kain to do not be able to read otherwise, but that night they would be able to.
Okay, you know, we can argue about that, but L'inyan, what I'm talking about now, were the same. L'inyan and Sukkah were the same.
No, but then it wouldn't work out for the Marduk. I mean,
sure
reason, no, because the reason why they're Petur during the day is because they can't be with their wives. But at night, since they could be with their wives, meaning since...
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. During the day, even if they left the Sukkah, they still couldn't be with their wives, and yet they're Petur, so you end up with the Marduk. Okay. So maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. I'm noted or wrong, but in any case, it's not relevant to our current current discussion. Okay. Now we've seen this fundamental machlokes, and we've seen that the Gemara in Erechin, at least the Havamina, unless you erase that Yurts, the Havamina is like the Marik and not like the Taz, like the more interesting, like the more not more interesting, like the Prima Gun version of Marik, if I can call it that, or my version of Marik. And even the Maskana, according to one way of reading the Maskana, is that way. Although that's good for the Machlokas, the Nigra, and the Magen Avraham. Now, I want to just get back to this Chakira, and I'm going to need Yosef's help again. You know? And then we're going to sort of tie this up. You can do it.
Not as efficient as Chesky. Oh, beautiful.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah,
Chaim, if you need an apprentice.
This stuff is beneath my dick.
Now that I've done it, Mecharker B'chalos, can't. So let us just, now I'm going to, here I'm going to put Yosef's Ara, which actually will be helpful for the Cheshvan in the Magen Avraham, I think. We'll see in a moment. Let's ask ourselves this question. What's the nature of the Ptur Mitzdayer? What's the nature of the Ptur Mitzdayer? So one possibility is that it's just a heter or a kula, right? You don't have to suffer for sukkah, right? You don't have to suffer for sukkah. You don't have to be extra dedicated to sukkah. Or you could say that no, it's a hafka, either for the taz's sort of curveball reason, right? Either taz, which is a side din of Kavana, or the Marik Lefi, let's call it the Prima Gadim, but you know, whether that's what he means or not, doesn't matter. I think we've proven there's such a Shita. No, that the Geder Yeshiva, the Geder of Yeshiva is Yeshiva Vishalva. And maybe, even though that's not found directly in the words Teshu Kein Taduru, maybe you could even affiliate that at least with the phrase Teshu Kein Taduru. Now, what's the Nafkamina? The first Nafkamina will be Imlo Yinotzel Min Hatzar Al Yedei Yitzyoso Min Asuka. Right? So then clearly you would say, like the Rosh and the Mordechai and the Arayim, that Nechayim B'sukkah. Because after all, it's a heter, it's a kubala. You know, you don't have to sacrifice too much. But here, you know, it doesn't matter. It's not hard to sit in the sukkah. Life is hard, but it's not hard to sit in the sukkah. So of course, there's no p'tur, and that's where I think the Rosh and etc. come from. But if you say it's a hafka'ah, then you might be more likely to say, like the Maharik and like the Magen Avraham about Erchin, the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham about the Sugya Erchin, who say that no, you're still Potter. Even though it wouldn't help you to leave the Sukkah, you're still Potter. Because that's a hafka of yeshiva. Now, let me just point out that what did Yosef say before? Yosef said, but you could also say like the Rosh and the Mordechai and the Reim, right? Why? Because you could say that it's not an objective standard of yeshiva versus tsar. It's based on your general lifestyle. Meaning, if you live as well as you always do, then maybe that's called normal yeshiva for you. For you, that's normal yeshiva, though for someone else it isn't. Like, all of our baseline, you know, there are people with tsaris, and they get used to their tsaris, you know, or, okay, maybe that's not the good case, but, Yosef, you want to...
I guess the baseline would be Esher or Yosef, really not, you know, that would be... The
right, so you could also say, like the Rush and the Mordechai and the Uraim, why? Even though it's a hafkah, because it's only a hafkah if the sukkah is a bad place to live. But if the sukkah is a fine place to live and something else is bad, then that's not a pegam in the yeshiva sukkah. That's a pegam in something else, right? Because the hafkah is only if the tsar is internal to the maise yeshiva sukkah. But if the tsar is not coming from yeshiva sukkah, then the yeshiva sukkah isn't miserable. It's something else that's miserable, and then that's not a problem. Okay, why do I want to say this? Because the Magen Avraham and our sukkah pass like the Rush. But I put him on this side of the Takira, so then it works out, right? That's why it works out well. That's why it's okay that Magen Avraham is like the Rush. He takes very seriously in our sukkah. Right? And he would just say, look, when it comes to Avelos, that now here in Ma'ativ didn't get it. When it comes to Avelos, the tsar of Avelos really has nothing to do with the tsur of your yeshiva. So that's not mafkia. That's like a side psychological fact that has nothing to do with your style of living. When it comes to Tashnamita, that's part of your style of living, and therefore that's mafkia. Okay. Now, what might another nafkamina be? So let me point out, this would answer the famous question, what about Hamachmir, right? What if someone's a bit sorry and they sit anyway? What did the Ramah say? What? Exactly. Mitzta'er Hamachmir Leshe Basuka. What's the din? He's called the Hedyot. Why is he called the Hedyot? After all, what's so bad about being Machmir? He has a Torah and he's Machmir anyway. Right? The Magen Avraham asked this question, Hilchos Pesach. The Magen Avraham in Hilchos Pesach quotes, anyone who's puttered as Machmir is called an idiot. Says, that's not true. You know, I know some people who would love to call everyone who's ever Machmir an idiot. But the Magen Avraham points out, that's obviously ridiculous. Meaning, half of the dinim in Shulchan Aruch are minhagim that we were Machmir ourselves and then became a minhag. That's not an idiocy. That's smart. That's a Avodas Hashem. And we know all over Hamachmir Tavol of Bracha, right? You can't read three pages of Shulchan Aruch without Hamachmir Tavol of Bracha. So I'm an idiot. I wrote to Madrega to be Machmir. So obviously what it means is that sometimes you're an idiot for being Machmir and sometimes not. But why is Sukkah in the Kutzmi Yishalmi? Yishalmi's case is not Sukkah. But the Rishonim will apply first and foremost to Sukkah. Why is it so bad to be Machmir? After all, if it's just a Kula, why is it so bad? See, I won't take advantage of the Kula. I'll do extra mitzvahs. I know I don't have to, but I'll do extra mitzvahs. What's so bad? So what do you have to answer? What are some theories? What could be so bad? The Mishnah, who says that? The Chachma Shlomo is not the only one. He's just, you know, one of the only ones on the page. The Chachma Shlomo, but he has a big chiddush. Is it true of all mitzvahs, according to the Chachma Shlomo? Yeah. Only true for rain. It's not true of all mitzvahs. It's a big, according to the Chachma Shlomo, if there's bugs, then you're a tzaddik if you stay in the sukkah. If there's bad smell, you're a tzaddik if you stay in the sukkah. If it's windy, you're tzaddik if you stay in the sukkah. You're only stupid if you stay in the sukkah when it rains. Why? Because rain is a specific mishnah. The mishnah says is a specific message from heaven. Right? It's a muscle. The servant brought his master a cup of water, and the master threw it back in his face and says, "I don't want your service." So then obviously, what should the servant do? He should bring another cup. He should leave very, very quietly before he chops his head off. So, only true for rain, because Hashem rejected your mitzvah. Okay, but other mitzvahs, it would not be true for.
Why, I didn't understand that when we read it. And why do you have to come to the Agadito that Hashem rejected us? Why couldn't you just say that when it rains, it doesn't do the basic function?
I know you could say that. I was saving that for the Sugya of rain. Okay. All right, the Seder. You're right, but let's leave that for now. What does the Bir Halacha say? He gives a different pshat. What's the Bir Halacha's pshat? What's his pshat? Why is it so bad, specifically here? Exactly. Because, after all, think about it. It's always nice to have a chumrah, unless it's a chumrah, the asi, lide kula. You can't have a chumrah that's a kula in some other halacha. He says, very nice, you'd be machmer in sukkah. But there's another mitzvah in yontif. Simchas yontif, and kavod yontif. And after all, if you're sitting in the rain or suffering, you're being mevatel mitzvah yomtiv. Do you have a right to be machmer in mitzvah 1 and be mevatel mitzvah 2? Of course not. So that's what he says, that it's because of chilul, simchas, or kavod yomtiv. He mentions both of them, right? But there's a specific reason. However, the Aruch HaShulchan is a maharik man here. The Aruch HaShulchan gives a more longish answer. What does the Aruch HaShulchan say? Why is it specifically idiocy to sit in the sukkah if you're mitzayir? Because, exactly, he's the one who said that. Because it's mufka. He says, when is it a mitzvah to be machmir? When you're potter, but you can still be makiyum. It's only a chumra if you can have a kiyum, but you're potter. But, says the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, because mitzta'er is not even a kiyum mitzvah sukkah. Meaning, in other words, it is mufka. If you're sitting mitzvah, you're not sitting in the sukkah at all. He calls it not a sukkah. That's what I was thinking of. He calls it not a sukkah at all. You can ask, does he mean it's a heft of not a sukkah in some cases? Yeah. Or does he mean it's not a yeshiva? Or maybe they go together. Whatever's not a yeshiva is not a heft of sukkah. Whatever's not a heft of sukkah is not a yeshiva.
The issue is there
yes.
a problem?
So he says it's a hafka. After all, lechora, it's only mufka if the sukkah is only mufka as a heftza, if the yeshiva would be mufka. So it's mufka. If it's mufka, of course that's like saying, I want to be very, very frum, and you know what? I will shake a lulav on Tu B'Shvat also. No, that's not a mitzvah at all. It's not a kiyum at all. Being frum is doing a kiyum when you have an exemption. But if it's not a kiyum at all, you're just making up an action that looks like a mitzvah but isn't, then that's not a chumrah at all, and that's not the Aruch HaShulchan. I think the Aruch HaShulchan is definitely following in the wake of the Maharik. Let me just point out, this can have some other nafkaminas as well. We'll go a little out of order. You notice, when it came to the whole question of Leil Tesvav, I just gave you a Mishnah Berurah. I didn't put any of your Shonim. That's because it's really its own sugya that we have to get to. And I was saying, let's just summarize and not get into it. But, maybe, it's more complicated. It's really more complicated. But let's just oversimplify, right? Because, as we know, the machlokes we shown whether it's Saris Chayiv on the first night or
right.
That could depend on the nature of its sire, or more classically, depend on the nature of the kiyum first night.
Yeah.
Which we'll get back to. I'm not getting into it now.
Oh.
But maybe you could say, let's just say, maybe mitzta'er bilel tesvav. Right? What about mitzta'er bilel tesvav? So if you say it's just a kula and a heter, then there's no kulas on lel tesvav. It's a tesvav from Chagamatzos. It's an absolute chiyav. Then you should be chayav if you're mitzvah b'leil tesvav. Because you don't get a kula. But if it's not even called yeshiva sukkah, then maybe you should be potter. Now, I know both of those are more complicated, and it's really sukkah I'm saving for later. That's why I'm just saying, to oversimplify, you could say the machlokas rishon b'leil tesvav, if it rains, might depend on this chakira. If you say it's a kula, then you don't have a kula. The first night you have to eat. The rest of the time you have a kula. But if you say, there's no teacher came to do it the first night, you don't have kulas. But if you say it's not a kula, it's a hafka, then if it's mufka, then it doesn't help to eat in the rain. It's not a mitzvah anyway. What is? It's not a yeshiva sukkah anyway. So what's the point? And then you'd be putter. And now here I want to just throw out some nafkaminas that are not so pashut.
So you think it would be then suggestive that if it would only be a ptur, that would all, does that mean that there always still stays some kind of a chiyuv?
No, but there's always a chiyuv. But on the first night there's a chiyuv. There's still a chiyuv at least. I'll just mention two other things. Possibly this might underlie this fascinating discussion. I'm not sure. You can think of it yourself. And this, it really ties into other things that maybe we should have gotten into. What about the famous discussion of a sukkah, shemitzta'er bo, b'sheina, v'lo ba'achila? Right? The famous Mordechai of a sukkah that you can't, it's nitzar to sleep there, but it's good for eating. So says the Mordechai famously, you're not even yotze eating. It loses its shame sukkah. It loses its shame sukkah. Now this is a funny one. Why would it lose its shame sukkah? Right? So I think that Lania's daiti, I think, Esher, you know, maybe you could say like this. If, and the Chacham Tzvi says that's ridiculous. Chacham Tzvi says not true at all. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, and brings a gazillion proofs that he's wrong. Yeah, obviously the more but Lemaisa, what I would think is this. If you said Mitzvah is a kula, you know what? You built a sukkah that would give you a certain kula for sleeping. But it's still a sukkah, just because you made yourself an gave yourself an unfair kula shouldn't make it not a sukkah. I mean, it's still a makom haroi yeshiva, so I would think you should say, like the Chacham Tzvi, that Yod say Yedei Achila. Why? Because it is Ra'oi L'Sheina. It's just that you just have a kula, but it's Ra'oi L'Sheina. You could sleep there, right? It's Ra'oi, let's say it a little better, if you'll, right, Ellie will have to forgive me this whole time that I'm using my terminology. There's Ra'oi L'Shivas Sheina, right? It's right for Yeshiva Sheina. You might have a heter. But it's still, you could sleep there, right? Let me say it a little better. Because you could theoretically sleep there. It's not impossible to sleep there. So since you could sleep there, then it makes sense that you should be able to eat in there. I know you cheated. You made it a place where you would create a kula l'chachila to sleep there, and you're not allowed to create this kula l'chachila. But it's still a makom ra'oi for everything. However,
if it's Zion al Zion, so maybe
that's one of the
and proofs. That's his proof. His proof is they're feeling guilty in Zion al Zion, and it's been started to sleep there.
You
could. It's just been started.
No, I think he says you. I think I
no, no. He says it's been started. You can.
Yeah.
You can. Yeah. Meaning, yeah. If you crunch up in a ball, you can. Meaning, you theoretically can. Right? I mean, if you're tired enough, you fall asleep. Okay. But here says the Mordechai, he says, Eino yotze yedei achila. Why? Because it's not a sukkah hare'uya le yeshiva. It's not. Why is it not a sukkah le yeshiva? You could sleep there. The answer is no, you can't. Because sleeping bitzar is not yeshiva. Right, so I think it makes sense. If sleeping mitzvah is mufka, then this is a sukkah which is not right for yeshiva. It's mufka from yeshiva's shena. And then he adds one chiddush. Once it's mufka for one thing, it's not mufka for another thing. You could also theoretically say the chacham tzvi. I admit it's mufka from shena. But one maisa is not connected to another maisa. There's no dinner package deal. Right? But I think if it's really just a kula, then the chacham tzvi makes more sense to me. You built a sukkah that is right for all the deer in the world. You might be able to ponder yourself unfairly, but it's wrongly for the deer. It would be deer if you slept there, right? Meaning, it might be a problem with choliyantif, but it would be deer if you slept there. And therefore, you should be yotze. I'll just mention one other thing. This is a very fascinating machlokas, except for the fact that there aren't really two strong sides to this. But it's an interesting thing, and we'll come back to this. The reason why I'm allowing myself to say it might be machlokas, because the buying Rav and Daf Chavav, that reminds me of something else, Daf Chavav. Okay, how about, what if it is, Ein Tsar B'Shivas HaSukkah, but there is Tsar le hagia la sukkah. There's tzar to get to the sukkah, but there's no tzar in yeshiva sukkah. It's hard to get to the sukkah, but it's not hard to be in the sukkah. So, but it's very hard to get to the sukkah. So this is a big discussion. The Ramakot's Trumas HaDeshim says, if it's Friday night and your candles will light in the sukkah, then it's tzar to eat in the dark. Okay, that's pashut. Tzar to eat in the dark, you're allowed to go home. What if your neighbor has a sukkah?
Don't
now you have two choices, neighbor sukkah or home. Avad it's tzar to eat in the dark, right? That's there's many midrashim in the sugya of Ner Shabbos about how big a tzar it is to eat in the dark. And if you ever tried it, yeah, it's really, you can't enjoy your food in the dark. I'm not the Chazal, my imprimatur. But try it. You know, even if it's like not as light as it should be, it's really a very unpleasant experience. But the have a go to your neighbor's sukkah. So the Trumas HaDeshen says, well, it's time to go to your neighbor's sukkah also, because you can't be comfortable as an interloper in someone else's space. Ain't arif lo la'adam el b'shalom. It's not pleasant to be in someone else's place. Now, of course, people ask me the Trumas HaDeshen, you never heard of going to the in-laws for sukkahs. So I think, obviously, there's a difference between an invited guest who's part of the social milieu versus just, showing up, even if your neighbors are the nicest people in the world, you know, they're, your neighbor is remachless. He has no problem having you in the sukkah, but still, it's not, you don't feel comfortable there. Okay, then the Trumas HaDeshen says, but I'm not sure. And then he says something out, well, if it's a real schlep, then you don't have to go, then you can eat at home. But if it's not a schlep, go to your neighbor's sukkah. Now, there's some discussion exactly what this means. Is the p'tur in the end just because it's unpleasant to be in someone else's house? And the schlepping was just like a chumra. Well, if it's not a schlep, you might as well be machmir. Or, no, maybe he really meant the p'tur is because of the schlepping in the end. If it's hard to schlep all your food and stuff to your neighbor's sukkah, then you're potter because the schlepping is mitzayir. This is not so clear, but the Magen Avraham in Tafra Islam and Test, when he discusses someone who has to learn and it's hard to schlep all his farm to the sukkah, says, we see from this din of your candles going out that schlepping is a p'tur from that if it's tired to schlep, you're potter from sukkah. And I put in brackets the Shulchan Aruch Rav, who gives many examples, it's very clear that if schlepping is tsar, then you're potter from sukkah. However, this is not mukrach. I didn't find anyone who explicitly disagreed, interestingly. But theoretically, one could certainly disagree. One could say, no, the Trumas HaDeshen didn't potter you because schlepping is tsar. He just says, you're really potter because it's not pleasant to eat in a foreign in a foreign house. The schlepping was just the but you maybe have a chumrah bi'alma if it's not a schlep, and if it's a schlep, don't do a chumrah. So give me one second. What you might say, maybe, this is definitely not mukhraf, you could, but maybe you would say, certainly at first glance, if it's a kula or a heter, meaning you don't have to go crazy for sukkah, then I would for sure say, like the Magen Avraham, the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Then I would say, well, you don't have to go crazy for sukkah, and therefore, just like if sitting there was really hard, you wouldn't have to do it. If getting there, if schlepping there is really hard, you wouldn't have to do it. That would make sense, right? So here, I would think to say, like the Magen Avraham and the Shulchan Aruch Harav, that you're potter. Why? Because it's a kula. The same kula, again, you might not say that. You might say, no, because the Torah expects you to prepare for things. But you might say, at the very, certainly if it's a surprise, just like I don't have to be uncomfortable sitting in the sukkah, I don't have to be uncomfortable going to the sukkah. The Torah didn't require me to go so far. After all, would I go to my house? It would be really hard to get there. No, I'm staying someplace else. So to impart from sukkah. But it could be that if you said, yes, that was the ra'ah, right? So you add plus the ra'ah by chasin. Good point. He says, what's the tzar of the chasin? That's tzar being in the sukkah. It's tzar going in and out of the sukkah. Okay, you have to figure out why it's harder for a chasin to go in and out of the sukkah than anyone else, but you'll work it out. However, if you said, no, it's afkav yeshiva, then I'm not sure about that. You might say that, hold on a second, if sitting in the sukkah is miserable and uncomfortable, that's afkav yeshiva. But if you can sit nicely, you just have to work hard to get there, then it's a perfectly good yeshiva. You just have to work hard to get there. So then you might say chayav. That would make sense. They chayiv. I don't have anyone to quote who like explicitly passed in this way among the achronim.
Nope.
But you might say, no, then you're chayiv. What do you mean? That's not mitzvah mitzvah if you can't have a good yeshiva. Here you can have a fine yeshiva. It's just a pain to get there. The seder, you know, it's also a pain to build a sukkah. You have to do it. That's part of life. So I thought maybe this would be enough gemina. Now let me take more and then end.
Yeah, how can we even say the first thing? This is a mitzvah shabbat v'zmano. We talked about you have to build your sukkah before you haven't gotten this mono sukkah yet, and clearly I have to schlep the wood from the attic down from the basement. That's really hard, and it's not even
so Morty's just asking, what's the having of the Magen Avraham and the Shulchan Aruch Harav? After all, we know it's a big pain, meaning, no, I wouldn't say it's a big pain, because it's actually the simpler the mitzvah really makes it a very fun experience. But nonetheless, it's a big tirchah. It's a lot of work. It's really hard to build a sukkah sometimes. And nowadays, I think you can buy sukkahs that you just press a button and all of a sudden. But, you know, in the old days, some of us remember when you had to work in life. Remember those old days when, like, life was tough, and if you wanted to light Hanukkah candles, you had to actually pour the oil into the cup, and other such terrible
terrors. I had to schlep wooden doors out of the basement.
Back in those days. So, Morty asked, what's the, it's a side point, what's the hamming that your putrid is too hard to schlep your svarim? You have to schlep the sukkah. So, I would answer one of two things. Either you have to say, no, there's a normal schlepping, and there's an exceptional situation. You have to do your normal schlepping, which is build a sukkah. Everyone has to build a sukkah. But the fact that you need a lot of svarim is exceptional, because it's rare that people need a lot of svarim, and therefore that tircha you don't have to do. Or the fact your candles blew out and you have to schlep your stuff, that's rare. The other option might be, based on the famous mitzvah, which maybe we'll get to, that maybe there's a special mitzvah to build a sukkah, so you can't have an excuse for that. But there's not a special mitzvah to bring things to the sukkah.
Also, there's a question I see that if it's unexpected.
Or if it's unexpected. That's what I really meant by the first time a little more. Maybe it depends if it's expected or unexpected. Okay, good. Right. Now let me just end.
Why can't you say that your mom is... that's
what
you meant, but you
left.
Meaning,
that
you see it's hard to say that.
Yeah, I put this with the maybe. Now, let me just end with a Vort of the Rav, but before we get to the Vort of the Rav, I think we can go earlier than that. The Magen Avraham asked a great kasha on the Ramah. The Magen Avraham says the Ramah is in big trouble. The Ramah said, if it's tired to sleep there, then you're not even yotze eating. Meaning, if it's tired to sleep there, then the whole sukkah is worthless. And then the Ramah says, you know why we eat in the sukkah and don't sleep? Because it's tired to sleep there, because we can't have our wives. Says the Ramah, just so himself. If the reason you're punched from sleeping is because it's tired to sleep there because you don't have your wife, then the sukkah is worthless. You shouldn't be yotze eating either. That's the famous kasha of the Magen Avraham on the Ramah. It's a bomb kasha. Right? I mean, it's such a good kasha that, obviously the Ramah, not just having an answer in the back of his head, having an answer on his fingertips. But again, what's the kasha? If you say you build a sukkah l'chathchila and it's tired to sleep, you're not yotze eating at all. We all, according to the Ramah, build a sukkah l'chathchila and it's tired to sleep because you can't have your wife there. And yet we're yotze eating. It's a stira. So I'll admit, and this is going to go against one of the things I said, that some of the achronim take a totally different approach to this Ramah, you're not even yotze eating. And they say, no, what it really means is, if you had a choice and you were posheya and built it someplace where it's tired to sleep, then you're not yotze eating. But if it's like you had a valid excuse, then it's okay. All right, in which case maybe you have to have a totally different way of reading this this Mordechai, that maybe it's because of some shia that you didn't build the sukkah that you should have. But I think you can answer the Magen Avraham's kasha on the Ramah very easily, based on the Rav. Okay, what does the Rav say? The Rav says, how old is the Rav in this piece? Do I have it on the sheet? Did he say? No. He didn't say how old he was. But he was young, Bialdusi, okay? When I was a kid, that is what I would have said. Right? What happened when the Rav was a little kid? It was raining the first night of Sukkot. And so what are you doing in the raining first night of Sukkot? We pass against a Suffolk. Whether you're chayiv to even the rain the first night or not. So what did they do? Misafik, they ate without a bracha. Okay. And then they ate kzayis without a bracha. Kabeitz without a bracha. Right? And then they went to sleep. In the middle of the night, his father woke him up and said, stop raining. Let's go eat with the bracha. So, because we only suffered yotze. Now that it's not raining, we have to be vada yotze. So he said to his father, yeah, if I was a kid, my father said it all the night, you know, I don't know what I would have said to my father, whatever it would, but probably not have been a key of the fifth commandment. But when the Rav, he wasn't, it didn't perturb the Rav at all as a kid that his father woke him up in the middle of the night. What perturbed him is that he didn't like the lumbus. Is that he said to his father, he said, I'm a little kid, it's the middle of the night, but me man of shach, he says, hold on a second. Either Mitzar is chayiv the first night or Mitzar is pater the first night. If Mitzar is chayiv the first night, we're already yotze. If Mitzar is pater the first night, then it's before Shemuel, it's Tzar to wake someone up in the middle of the night. So I'm pater because I'm Mitzar. Why'd you wake me up? Okay. He says he doesn't remember what his father answered him because he was 6 years old and it was the middle of the night. Okay. But afterwards, he figured out what his father must have answered him. What his father answered him? His father answered him that really this Tzvedinim and Mitzar. There's really both Dinim and Mitzar, correct? There's two different kinds of Mitzar, says the Rav. There's two different kinds of Mitzar. He says, there's a Mitzar that being in the Sukkah is miserable. That's a Hafkah. Then there's a Mitzar that getting to the Sukkah is miserable, but being there is okay. That's not a Hafkah. That's only a Kula. So therefore he says, hold on a second. On the first night, he basically just combines, if here we have two Dinim, you know, let me just... I forgot to mention Rashi on. I apologize. Wait, one second. I just apologize. I forgot to mention Rashi on Daf Chaf Vav and Aleph. Just remember, Rashi Daf Chaf Vav and Aleph says that Abaye says Shomri Ganus Upardesim are potter from Sukkah because Teshuvah came to Durim. What does that mean? Rashi says because he can't have a nice mattress and furniture, therefore he's potter. Rashi is.
What do you mean?
Even if he doesn't, no, it's impossible to bring. Either it's sour or maybe impossible to bring. But the kasha is, but even if he doesn't have a sukkah, he still has nice mattress and furniture. That proves, like the Ma'arik, that teshuvah kinas duro pachters you, even though it would be no better outside the sukkah. Whether he has a sukkah or not, he's not going to have his mattress and furniture. The sukkah is no worse. So I would just add, I apologize for coming back to it, but this is Rashi. I apologize for going out of order. I just didn't want to be missing. Rashi, on daf chav vav and aleph, the Shomrei Ganus, Upardesim, are potter because they have to live without mattresses. Even if they slept outside of Sukkah, they'd still have to live without mattresses. Either way, they have to live without mattresses. They're in the field. No. The answer is, you're potter even though it wouldn't help to go out of the Sukkah. They go out of the Sukkah and they still live without mattresses because they're in the field and there's no mattresses in the field. Nonetheless, they're potter because it's not a Dira. Okay. Now, at least in Abaye. We might not possibly like Abaye. We'll get to that. Now, let me just go back to what I was saying. If we could number the nafkaminas, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If we could number the nafkaminas, now maybe we could say tzvei dinim. Maybe there are beis dinim. One way to say beis dinim is the Rav. And the Rav says beis dinim by combining nafkaminas 3 and 5. What do I mean by combining nafkaminas 3 and 5? What the Rav says is that one din is a hafkah. The hafkah is only if the yeshiva itself is miserable. And that is safek pater afilu bilel tesvav. The other din is if the yeshiva is nice, but getting there is miserable. Like, because you have to be woken up in the middle of the night. And that is vadai chayav afilu bilel tesvav. And that's why his father will come up. His father said beforehand, we had the hafkah of mitzayer. Oh, the hafkah of mitzayer is maybe potter even in Leil Tesvav, so we maybe weren't yotze. Now it's not raining, we don't have the hafkah of mitzayer. Now we only have the ptor of mitzayer, not the hafkah of mitzayer. Now we only have the kul of mitzayer. Ah, the kul of mitzayer doesn't apply to Leil Tesvav. Maybe you're chayav, maybe you weren't yotze before because it was mufka, but now you would be yotze, because now it's only a kula. And you're even chayav because the kula doesn't apply to Leil Tesvav. And that's why you said, either mitzayer is chayav than Tesvav or potter. I say there's two dinim. The hafkah mitzvah is potter and tesvav, but the kula mitzdar is chayiv in tesvav. So you weren't guilty before because that was achka type mitzdar, but you're guilty now because now it's only you're chayiv now. It's only a kula type mitzdar. Just
how can you say the bracha? There's a suffix there earlier,
yotzei beforehand. Oh, but it's okay if you go to the, if you eat the suffix twice, you're allowed to say a second bracha. Meaning that's okay, right?
Maybe it's just another parish that the Afkar is talking about the Afkar of the Chefza, like we said about Ren.
That, you're repeating what you said earlier. Okay,
maybe
you're right.
That's what the Rav
okay. You're right, but that's not what the Rav said. You're right, it could be. Efsher, and I'll come back
that's
to
what
it.
What the Rav said.
What?
Isn't that the
Gura? You're absolutely right. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that's not the pshat I'm discussing now.
If you have Afkar, non-chayavim does it anyway. Could be a problem about Chesed.
No, I think it wouldn't be Baltosif because it's an interesting question, but Pashas, let's say it wouldn't be Baltosif. Baltosif has to be a very specific kind of action, and this action might be so mufka that it's not even Baltosif, but you're right, I'm not really answering your question. Let me just point out, there's a second way to say Tzvedidim, and maybe this is the answer to the Magen Avraham's Kasha. The Magen Avraham's Kasha, what I'm basically doing is I'm making a Tzvei Dinim based off of Nafkamina 4. You know what? Before I get to the Magen Avraham, I apologize for going out of order. There's just something very similar. This goes very well with the Bir Halacha. Am I allowed to say a bracha in Mitzdayer? Am I allowed to say a bracha in Mitzdayer if I want to? Good question. Am I allowed to say a bracha in Mitzdayer? So, says the Bir Halacha, am I allowed to say a bracha in Mitzdayer?
No.
Says the Bir Halacha.
Halacha.
No, at least that's what he says in the Masifta.
Bracha Levatala.
Let's see what he says in the Bir Halacha. I don't know what it says in the Masifta.
You don't
and
care.
I don't always trust what it says in the Masifta. It's worth reading. You shouldn't trust anyone. what does he say here? He says, "Aval." He's not directly discussing bracha, but let's see what he's doing. Let me repeat exactly. Says the Bir Halacha, he's basing himself on Nafkuminas 5 and 2. Right, and therefore these go very well. That's an arrow. Go very well together. He says, there's Tzvedinim. There's the Tzar when you're in the Sukkah and the Tzar Lagi in the Sukkah. But he doesn't give the Rav Nafkamina the first night, which he actually, he probably does not agree with, maybe to the other ones of the first night. But what does he say? He says, no, there's two types. There's a Hafka'ah is only if the yeshiva itself is miserable. And therefore, in that case, then it is stupid to be machmir. It says, if the yeshiva itself is miserable, that's stupid to be machmir. But if the yeshiva is nice, but getting there is miserable, that's only a p'tur. That's not avka, that's only a p'tur. If you don't take advantage of a kula, that's not stupid. If you do something that's mufka, that's stupid. You're doing something that's not a mitzvah. If you don't take advantage of a kula, that's not stupid. That's means chasidus. That's called being interested from. And that's what he says. Listen to what he says. He says, when is it maised yotus? That's when you're p'tur be'eis ha'yeshiva. And then he says, especially geshamim, but not only. Especially geshamim. But Misha Pachim Tircha Lachsur Lusukka, if the tour is only because the Tircha to get there, like the Rav's case, that waking up in the middle of the night, or moving in the middle of the meal, or going to your friend's Sukkah, then there's Kibul Schar Alav, and it's Meshubach Afsha Pachim in Hadin, then it is Meshubach Lahachmir. And that makes sense. There's one din that's a kula. It's hard to get there. That's a kula. You don't have to treat yourself too much. Okay, if you want to, then it's Meshubach. Then there's Afka. Sitting there is miserable. That's not called living in a sukkah. It's called sitting in a sukkah, but it's not called living in a sukkah. That's not living in a sukkah. And therefore, you are a head yot. The last thing I'll point out is maybe you could answer the Magen Avraham's Kasha answer the question of the Magen Avraham, and this is tying in, this is about Nafkamina number 4, but it's a new chiluk. It's that these two are similar, right? These two go together because they're both about the chiluk, the Tzvei Dinim are based on getting there versus the yeshiva itself. Here, what I want to say for the Magen Avraham is something different. The Magen Avraham asked the following question. He said, he said, if the Mordechai says that if you can't sleep there, then you're not yotzei eating, and the Rama says, or that it's sour to sleep without your wife, how are any of us yotzei eating? After all, as the Magen Avraham says, then you're not yotzei anything. If you're mitzayir b'shena, you're not yotzei achila b'shtiya. So you could say, no, there's two different levels of mitzayir. After all, let's think about it. This is not his example. Mitzayir that you're afraid of being killed. That's his example. That's a serious tsar. That's mamish. That's not living. Mitzayir that you're getting wet. That's not a tsar. Mitzayir that it's freezing or boiling. That's not living. I mean, yes, if you're a prisoner of war in Vietnam, you might live that way. But everyone would say that, you know, that they took your life away. Right? But, on the other hand, tsar that I can't sleep with my wife. You know? So when you say that's not living because you can't sleep with your wife, again, maybe some people are very romantic here. But, you know, look, there are plenty of Bakram out there. Right? And they live just fine. I mean, okay, I'll pee. Hashkaf is not Torah, maybe. They really don't live so fine. But at the very least, from the Gashmiest secular viewpoint, we say, okay, the Bakr needs a shidduch, but he's living fine. He has quality of life. He just needs a shidduch. The guy's away on a business trip from his wife. So, okay, it's not as nice as it should be, but it's not. You'd say, if I'm away on a business trip in a hotel, I'm lacking something in my quality of life. You wouldn't say I'm not living. It's not miserable. It's just not as pleasant. So maybe you can say there's two dargas. Even in the sukkah, there's two dargas. There's a darga that it's not as pleasant as it should be. And then there's a darga that it's miserable and no one could live this way. You know, it might be a quantitative chiluk, or it might be a qualitative chiluk between something that's objectively miserable for all people or only unpleasant for miserable for me based on my personal family situation. But you can say there's two dargas. There is, the hafka'ah is if it is intolerable. If it is objectively intolerable, I'll put both. If it's objectively intolerable, such as rain and getting killed and a temperature and bugs crawling on you, etc., right? Again, maybe there's some specific activity, I don't know. In Eretz Yisrael, you don't have the rain anymore. You do trade it for sometimes cats sleeping with you in the sukkah. So I don't know what darga that goes on to. You know, that's one thing with without your wife, but the cat crawls up and finds a warm place under your blanket. Maybe I'm not the only one who had that. Then it's not so pushit. And don't try to beat the cat. That's like work within the halakhs of sukkah. You're not going to win the cat. If it's a hafka'ah, is if it's objectively intolerable. And in that case, if sleeping is tsar, then you're not even yotzei eating. Because there, the sleeping is mufka. It's a place where the sleeping wouldn't be yeshiva. If you can't be yeshiva of sleeping, you can't be yeshiva of eating. However, in the case, the kula is if it's tolerable, but subjectively unpleasant. I mean, if you think about it, like, is it really the end of the world to sleep without your wife? Don't quote me to my wife. But people go on business trips, and it's not the end of the world. They prefer not to be on a business trip. But that's part of life, and, sometimes these things happen. Someone doesn't say, but how can I live that way if I have to go visit family or a simcha or a business trip? They say, look, it's not as pleasant, but, you gotta work hard. That's part of life. So therefore, if it's not tolerable, and the example is, b'li ishto, right, without a wife, Then we say there's a Ptur Mitzdayer, but you have your cake and eat it too. You have a kula of Mitzdayer because you can't be with your wife, but it's not a Havkah of Mitzdayer, so the sukkah is still kosher for eating, right? Then you're still Yotze eating. Because that's not Havkah on the sukkah, that's just a kula. Okay, whether you should have had this kula or not, maybe depends on what was reasonable for what your resources were. But it's not a Havkah of the sukkah, and that's how I would answer the Magen Avraham's Kashi, even though there's another answer based on your Pshia. But I think it's a great answer. Did the Mordechai say, if you can't sleep, you can't eat either, because it's Ay Sukkah? Yeah, that's if you mamish can't sleep, it's Ay Sukkah, because that's Havkah of sleeping. But here you could sleep, it's just not so pleasant. Okay, in that case, that's not Havkah, that's just a kula, and you're still Yotze eating. Okay, this is the Tzvei Dino. I just want to end with one point, and based on the Prima Gadim, I just want to end with one very simple question. What is the Svara behind the Omek HaSvara, the Tamiya Mitzvah, as it were, behind each of these shitas? What is the reason for the din? So over here, we'd say it's just a kula. Yeah, the Torah's mekala, lonei Torah l'chasharis. That's a good enough svara. Over here, we'd say it's because of the need for yediya, right? L'man yedu. What's the svara that if you stay for the hafkah, if you live in the sukkah and it's a mitzar, then it's not a mitzvah at all? I understand the svara for a kula. Hashem's a nice, not God, Hashem's a nice being, right? Hashem's nice. He doesn't want to be a tzriach u'yoser midai. L'man yedu l'mocha esharis. Ena kodesh baruch hu b'b'trunya el b'yosef. I understand the Taz. It's a bit of a chiddush, but yeah, the Yediyah is ma'akif. It's an intellectual mitzvah, not a physical mitzvah. But what's the svara of this shot we said in the Maharik? Why should it not be a mitzvah to sit there and tsar? After all, as the Taz pointed out, sometimes, Adrabi, you think more about the mitzvah if you're mitzar. You think how hard this mitzvah is. Why should it be worthless to be unhappy and miserable in the sukkah? After all, I understand you want to say it's a kula. Why would it be worthless to be miserable in the sukkah? You're still doing a mitzvah. If I have to give tzedakah and I'm miserable, then it's still a mitzvah. If I have to fast on Yom Kippur and I'm miserable, it's still a mitzvah. Why is it not a mitzvah to be miserable in the sukkah?
Once again, the time of mitzvah was the whole idea of simcha by sukkah. It says three times in the Torah.
So you say it's in simcha and sukkahs. Okay, but it doesn't say simcha. You're right, but I don't think that's the point. That has to be a side point. I think here, the Prima Gadim has a nice drusha. He says, sukkah is miloshon socheh, you see. But I think it's pasha. What does sukkahs remind us of? Ki ba sukkah so shavti z'nei Yisrael, that Hashem took care of us when we left Mitzrayim. What's the point of a sukkah? Leave your house where you think you take care of yourself and go remember that Hashem takes care of us. How did Hashem take care of us when we left Mitzrayim? Did he take care of us? Bekoshi, bedochak, we somehow scraped by? Is that what we're remembering? That we managed to survive through the midbar, even though it's really awful when Hashem takes care of you. No, what does it say all over Chumash? Zarva im shana Hashem lekecha imach, lo chasar tadavar. You weren't missing anything. Some muskol lo volsami alecha, v'nal chol lo vatseka. We had automatic food, we had water, the mud tasted like anything we wanted, our clothes didn't wear out, our shoes didn't rip, right? They had air conditioning. The vendor says you had air conditioning, you had climate control, you had pest control from these Anani Akavot. The point is not to remember that. Hashem took care of us, and boy, is that miserable. No, the whole point is the Man Yedir says we have Sukkah Shoshat Yisrael, that Hashem, I mean, you go under the protection of the Shekhinah. Okay, obviously in modern day life, just as the person says that you talk on the Shekhinah doesn't mean they'll always be happy because things are complicated. But we're not remembering modern day life. We're remembering the idea of Hashgachas Hashem. We're remembering the idea of being Choset Hachas Kanfei Shechina, right? The whole point of the Chagim is not to remember how complicated modern day life is. It's to remember the pure religious idea of what the ideal is as represented by Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? And Matan Torah and the Midbar. The whole point is to remember that Hashem takes care of us, and when Hashem takes care of you, that's better than anything else. And when Hashem takes care of you, he does it 100%. If I sat in the sukkah and said, I'm leaving my house, I'm going to sit in the sukkah, where it's miserable because, like, I'm under the Kanfei Shechina, that wouldn't be a kiyum. The kiyum is not to think that it's miserable to be under Kanfei Shechina. The kiyum is to see that it's wonderful to be under Kanfei Shechina, that nothing's better than to be under Kanfei Shechina. And maybe that's part of the, again, it's Tamei Mitzvos, and then I would tie that in, I went to the Simcha of Sukkahs, the extra Simcha of Sukkahs, perhaps, different has been than some of the others beer. But maybe you could say, no, that's the whole point. The whole point is that you have to, what does it remind us? The whole point of Sukkos is that the yeshiva, tachas, kanfei, hashchina, meaning the hashgachas Hashem, right, is the best. That's the whole point. That the best life is to be dependent, is to be under Hashem. And therefore, it would be perverse to have tzar in the sukkah. Because then you remind yourself of the opposite of what the historical story was, of what the philosophical idea is. That's the man, the kiva sukkah, the shabbos, and so the mitzvah, and everything in the chumash. And it was perfect. Now, we know life's not perfect nowadays. It's complicated. But remember the idea that once Hashem took care of our ancestors, and it was perfect because they were purely dependent on Hashem. And Hashem is perfectly good, and the more you depend on Hashem, the better off you are. And that the road to happiness is by dependence on Hashem. That's the message of Sukkot. And therefore, of course, the Avkaf, it's miserable. Because we're not remembering what we're supposed to remember. We're remembering the opposite. And maybe that's a deep word in Sukkot. But maybe that would come out of this halacha, at least one of the tzvedina of this halacha, maybe, or the only din of this halacha. Then again, we get three possible messages from this. One message is kula, that Hashem is nice and he doesn't want to make us go have to work too hard or be miserable for mitzvahs. Second message, the taz, that intellectualism, that it's not enough to just do mitzvahs. Sometimes it's actually an akev, but we have to know what they mean on a deep level. And third message is just what sukkah is about. It's about leaving our house and going to Hashem's house. It's about leaving our walls that we built and remembering that Hashem builds us a home. And you have to remember that Hashem was at home. It's not bad. It's not worse. It's not worse, you'll say. And maybe not even bad. But rather, that's the ultimate simcha, right? And the ultimate being taken care of comes from Hashem more than any other force in the universe. And therefore, only if you have yeshiva b'shalva in the sukkah can you really remember what happened in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, we'll have to continue with Mitzvah Hashem next time.
Like I always ask you, you're beginning step six?
Yeah.